Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, and welcome to Shabbat Black Experience Enhanced. Tonight, the air date of this episode is April 4th, 2023. And as we all know, that 50 years ago, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was murdered in Memphis, Tennessee. Tonight's episode is the dump, DeSantis, and America. And also, too, I want to welcome the anchor man with me here this evening. Good evening,
What's going on? It's Rob Melvin Sanders.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Absolutely.
Today, world?
Absolutely. And this is episode 328 of season 7. Okay, so our title tonight is The Dump, DeSantis, and America. We are discussing the current political fervor in regards to the dump indictment, which is a joke, the governor of Florida, and America's hatred of black consciousness. We will also discuss the current reparations hearings that are occurring in California for just compensation for chattel slavery. This episode is for those 18 years of age and over. Chewbacca Sancori, co-executive producer, Che and Kuma, co-executive producer, Anchorman Ramel Understanding, Lady Che of the Revolutionary Agenda. And as we do know, it is election day there in the city of Denver, Colorado, in which Che and Kuma, otherwise known as Jesse Paris, Denver candidate for mayor, and hopefully he gets the support. And he should be joining us later on this evening. And we do understand that he's big. A few things here I want to go over here with, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, back in 2017, we did a story on the situation when Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for the national anthem at the football game. And what Mr. Kaepernick did for all practical purposes was sacrifice the remainder of his NFL career for bringing attention to an extremely very, very serious problem. And also, too, the dump who got up there and excused the language, ladies and gentlemen, that stated publicly, get that son of a bitch off of the field. Well, if there's any type of justice, then hopefully the dump will be walking the concrete within the next 48 hours. But however, we know people that this is not going to happen. It's because there's been quite a few of us who have been arrested, okay? We go to a jail cell, okay? We are handcuffed. Mm-hmm. Our mugshots are taken. We are fingerprinted. And then we're in the cell until we go to what they call an arraignment, which is to see if there's enough evidence to charge you with a crime. But however, we do know how shady district attorneys are. Okay, about how the police agencies fabricate evidence, okay, how they beat confessions of out of suspects, and the Los Angeles Police Department is notorious for this. But the thing I'm very curious about, Anchorman, on this, how's this dude, man, is going to go up there, get booked, right, in New York City, and then he's able to go to Dunk Tower to spend the night, as opposed to being put in his jail uniforms, you know, stripped ass, you know, searched, have all the stuff thrown on the floor, you know what I mean, walking around naked with a bunch of other men in there. But he was allowed to go to Dunk Tower. Now, they're saying that this trick is a form of U.S. president. He has Secret Service protection, but it seems to me is that the FBI and the New York City Police Department should have both had went there as soon as he landed there in New York City on his way to Dunk Tower and booked his ass. What do you got to say about that there, Anchorman? You know, I'm just curious, man.
Well, I mean, anything that Trump does kind of like trickles down and benefits a little bit of everybody, you know what I'm saying? You know, and I think that all his nonsense never makes sense, but it kind of equals dollars and cents, you know. And I just think that the dude, he's a criminal, just like any other white politician, per se.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because they do so much shady stuff on the under, man. It's out of this world, man. You know what I'm saying? So ain't nothing new. The whole government is a criminal. You know, like I always say on the show, they brought the drugs, they brought the guns, gave us the guns, gave us the drugs, opened up the prisons, brought us in, and pay us nothing for being in the prison. Implement slave wages in slavery, because what is it? Well, the amendment is the 13th Amendment. Slavery is to be abolished.
Yes, sir.
Let's use that to say
except for a punishment of a crime.
Yeah, sure indeed. So I'm just getting at, you know, before we get off on this whole Trump thing, Trump is a criminal, Trump is this, Trump is that, let's look at the whole government.
Yes.
The United States government since its very creation, since the Constitution, since the amendments. You know, them people have been involved in slave trade, you know, haterism, traitorism, trickery, trashy for a long time. So this ain't,
yes, sir.
You know, I mean, Trump, what Trump is doing is nothing in comparison to what these people have been doing for years, months, and days.
Yes, sir.
And, you know,
that's for real.
They've killed innocent people, arrested innocent people, enslaved people. You know, basically, when they put somebody in prison, they're enslaving them. Point in case.
Right.
I mean, you know, there ain't no getting around that. You know, and then they got the whole prison industrial system monopolized. And then, you know,
yes, sir.
I remember when I was a youngster, people used to bounce checks. And that was kind of like a serious crime, you know. And if you wrote a check for something that, you know, you didn't have the money for and they took the check or whatever, you know, that was a serious crime, you know what I mean? Or it was a crime. But they do that all the time, man. They're printing up money left and right with nothing to back it up, no resource, no nothing. The dollar's only standing because of the name brand.
Right.
It's like Coca-Cola, you know what I'm saying? Coca-Cola. It's the name brand of the dollar is the only thing that's holding it up. Other than that, it would have fell a long time ago. You know what I mean?
Sir.
I just found out that the Russians, the Chinese, and everybody that's against America started their own little, like, network, and they put out some kind of monetary system of their own that is going to be blowing the dollar out of the way. And I mean, I don't know what's the name of it. A friend of mine told me that it was a Chinese Wong or something like that. And
and then Saudi Arabia, you know. Yeah, and then Saudi Arabia, you know, they did something here in the news earlier today, too, that I saw in regard, you know, to the U.S. dollar. But, Anchorman, we got a couple of callers right here, okay? And we got an unknown caller here, 11111. I think I know who that is. And then also, too, we got a caller here at 443 as well, too. Okay, 443, please hang on. We're going to be getting right to you. But I think I know who this unknown caller is. Sarge, is that you?
You better believe it's me, brother. What's up? Hey, look here, man. Look here. Now, we've had some rather interesting, dissonant conversations. I hope we can continue to do the same.
Absolutely. I respect you, brother.
Okay, cool.
Yes, sir.
I just like to respond to a couple of things you just said about Donald Trump and bail. Now, I will agree with you that Donald Trump needs to be treated in accordance with the law and like anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Would you not agree that that is true?
Oh, absolutely. And I don't understand how come he's not in his county blues as they do in L.A. County jail.
I'm going to tell you why. Because your New York legislature, and in particular, your guy, Alvin Bragg, who has a habit, by the way, of reducing over 52% of felony arrests that come before his office down to misdemeanors. This is what, record, he has done. But the New York legislature now does not require cash bail from any misdemeanor or nonviolent felon. That is the law in New York right now. So to put Donald Trump in a jumpsuit would be to treat him differently than any other criminal. Unless, of course, you want to say felony bookkeeping, you know, putting a check mark in the wrong ledger is a violent crime, well, be my guest.
Okay, well, I'm looking at the fact is that he committed a heinous crime there, Sarge, but hold on here. We're going to have... I believe we got another call here. I think I know who this is. This is out of 443, the last 45763. Good evening to you there. Your mic is on minute. What's happening?
What's happening? Know who this is? Check 1 2 1 2.
Brother Isaiah, he's been with us since day zero. Brother Isaiah. Okay, now Brother Isaiah, we got Sarge on. Yeah, and we got Sarge on with us, man. And we're talking about the dump. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, I'm about to say, have y'all heard about the dump? Have from 34. I repeat, 34 felonies, and he posts out on bail. Like, come on, man, he should serve his time.
Wait a minute! Whoa! Hold on! You telling me that this fool got hit with 34 felonies and he's out on bail?
Yeah, 34. Yeah.
No, he's not out on bail. They don't require cash bail for nonviolent felonies, even if there's 1,000 of them you're charged with.
Right.
That's your state legislature. Don't blame Donald Trump.
Well, Sarge, he should have been arrested in the state of California then. It's because in the state of California, you know, they got a 94% conviction rate, sir. You know what I mean? And they really don't believe, you know, releasing you, man, as soon as they take your mug shots and what have you. You know, I know somebody, man,
who's been through that system,
you know.
Well, Shabaka, you got to admit now, it would be a novel legal theory to transfer state jurisdiction of a crime to another state. Now, that would be something I have never heard of in my entire life. But who knows? With Donald Trump, they just might decide to do it because all rules are off when it comes to Donald John Trump.
Can I ask you a quick question? Are you a Republican, Sarge?
No, sir, I'm not.
Yeah, I am. I just thought I'd ask you.
Oh, okay. Well, I used to be, but Republicans are simply not.
No.
I don't think the Republican Party has enough allegiance to the Constitution and the traditions of the United States.
You already know me. I used to be a Republican, not anymore. Yeah, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm independent.
I understand, brother. I don't blame you. I think that might be the way to go for the future. But right now, it's just that the Republican Party, as cowardly, feckless, and ineffectual as it may be, is the only alternative to these demon rats.
To me, the Democrats and the Republican, it's the same thing. It's a two person, one stone. And so, you know, they hand in hand work together. They all sit on this potential face off, right? They just pretend to face off they want us to be brainwashed so they can't go out there and vote. For the different party. I ain't voting for no different party. I'm just independent. So all that Republican, Democrat, somebody can have that, but I'm not fooling.
Okay.
Well, I got the feeling I don't blame you for feeling the way you feel, but I'm just saying that I'm a conservative. I'm a constitutional conservative. And I'm going to go with whomever is closest to that ideal, and I got to admit, neither party meets it sufficiently.
Right.
Well, Republicans are supposed to stand for, they're really not representing that at this time. But, I mean, when I get out of the situation that I'm in and I start running, man, I'm running under Republican banner because I'm a conservative. And, you know, I believe in man, woman, child. You know, the natural family, not that alphabetized, crazy, weird stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I believe in teaching
children principles of life, not principles of abomination. Big difference.
Yes.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yes, but I will give the Republican Party this much credit, and I think we should always give them credit for this. They were founded out of the remains, out of the rump of the Whig Party as a direct result of the Whig Party's pro-choice nature on slavery. The Republican Party was specifically founded primarily to end slavery. I'm always going to give the Republican Party credit for that.
Okay.
Right on.
Now,
thank you,
we have another caller from area code 301. Okay, and just press one and we'll be happy to unmute your mic. But however, though, now, as you pointed out there, Sarge, okay, as the Anchorman has pointed out and as Brother Isaiah has pointed out, you know, who's been with us since day zero, you know what I mean, is that really, folks, the dump, you know, just has too much juice. I think he's a spoiled little rich kid, okay? You see what I'm saying? That had his lollipop taken away from him. You know, when Colin Kaepernick had got up there and kneeled down protesting the police. Oh, yeah, exactly. Okay, and then Colin Kaepernick, you know, had sacrificed his NFL career to stand up for what he believed in, which is all these police murders. Okay, now, the dump, you know, he didn't do nothing on that, neither did Obama. You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, Sarge, you're a firm believer in the U.S. Constitution. Sir, would you please state the Second Amendment to us, please, of the U.S. Constitution?
Yes, sir. I'd be happy to. A well-regulated militia, comma, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Right. They're not being friends. Okay, Sarge, hold that thought right there. It's because, you know, we got a gentleman here out of area code 301. The last three is 374. We're going to unmute his mic and have him join us in. Hey, 301, last three, 374. What's happening there with you, Mr. Dynamite?
Black power.
Yes,
and the Second Amendment, we are that. We are that necessary. We are that necessary force when needed. When tyranny become law, then you know, hey, then we have to do something about it. The little rich kid, too.
Sir.
I just want to chime in real quick on that. Hey, what's up, Sarge? I recognize your voice. I got one of them ears for voices. I might not recognize your face, but if I talk to you one time, I'll recognize the voice. Oh, am I wrong, Brother Shankor?
No, sir, not at all, man. It's always a pleasure, you know, to have both you gentlemen here. You know what I'm saying? Y'all exchanging gratuities.
Okay, so Black Power, you got interrupted last time. Yeah. I think he just played a shell game. Trump ain't in no danger. Shit, he can buy his way out of that anyway. But and he always got kind of presidential clemency going on. He's doing what they like Barnum and Bailey say. Any publicity is good publicity. So he's doing what the publicity right before his grand tour of these empowering white supremacy. That's what he's doing. But see, he's not doing it intentionally. They just following him. It's almost like that commercial where they say, you got Grey Poupon. He say, like, you looking for barbecue sauce in the city, you know, so they basically don't even run together. Cowboy hats and he looked more like, you know, the Dapper Don that was named John Gotti.
Right.
You know, he looked gangster. The people that vote for him, he don't fit in with them at all. But whatever, he got that charisma for him, and plus he's the Second Amendment president, and he got that for us.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing about that is they're allowed to have guns. We're allowed to have guns because you want to get it on. He really do want to get it on. He coming off like what's his name? Andrew Johnson. Andrew Johnson, right after Lincoln got killed.
Right.
He was served veto. He vetoed everything that Lincoln tried to do for black folks.
Right.
I just want to throw this last thing in there. The NAACP was not made for us. It was made for colored folks. We was Negroes. We wasn't colored folks.
Mm-hmm.
He made that for colored folks. And guess what color they is? I know you already know. It's start with a G. Yeah. I ain't gonna say green. I ain't gonna say green. I'm gonna say gold finches, and the gold birds, and the gold this and the gold that. So Black Power, glad to be here with y'all. But yeah, he's just playing a little shell game. He's gonna get everybody watching him again. So see what color his hair is.
Oh, yeah.
I used to go on this. Say, what color is hair gonna be today? Is it gonna be yellow or orange?
I think today is yellow right now.
Well, I got something for y'all to ponder here. Now, this guy, Alvin Bragg, has this disturbing habit, it seems, of lowering felonies, and I mean violent felonies and misdemeanors, to wit, I will give you the example of the bodega owner, Jose Alba, who lawfully defended his life against an imminent threat by a violent offender, killed him in the process, and Alvin Bragg preferred murder charges against him and was forced to drop him when the public outrage got too much. Similarly, just recently, an African immigrant, a 56-year-old man working as a parking attendant in New York, went and confronted a thief, an armed thief, armed with a handgun, who was looking at cars in the parking lot, robbed one of them. He got, when he confronted the guy shot him three times. Miraculously, this African immigrant managed to wrestle a gun away from him and kill his attacker. Now, Alvin Bragg charged this man with murder from his hospital bed, chained him to the hospital bed, and again, only the public outrage got the charges dropped. This guy has a really curious habit of charging innocent people with felony murder charges while at the same time he gains the functions, a misdemeanor bookkeeping crime with the statute of limitations that expired 2 years ago, into a felony by bootstrapping a federal crime onto it over which he has no jurisdiction. It is really quite astounding. What do you think about that?
Right. Okay, well, it's like chess here. Now, check this out. We were speaking of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States gives the right to bear arms. We therefore believe that all black people should arm themselves for self-defense. But see, but the state of California, when that occurred, you see what I'm saying? They made it against the law for you to possess a firearm. Now, why am I bringing this here up? Okay, it's because you got state law and you got federal law. Okay, the dog, he's a crook. You know what I'm saying? He was in a gambling business, the casino business, you know, probably even had Stormy Daniels and a million of them like her, you know what I'm saying? But that's what they do. That's why they call them tricks, by the way. Okay, but however, what this is bringing to light is the hypocrisy of when the dump was the president, when he threw Amarosa out of the White House, okay, physically, because she had opposed him. And then we're not going to talk about them raggedy tramps, Diamond and Silk, who used to come out there and support this fool. You see what I mean? And whatnot, and then he got rid of them, you know, once they had served their purpose. You see what I mean? And then on top of it as well, too, is that the fervor that the dump had created in his whole presidency, you know, with this ultra-white conservative. Now, Barack Obama, when he was the president, he didn't do nothing about police killings, and you would think that he would have, and I'm sure you would agree with me on that there, Sarge, you know what I mean? You know, particularly in the case in Ohio with little Tamir Rice, who was only like 12 years old, who was shot by a police officer from a passing car. You see what I mean?
Oh, then, of course, when because of the young father have a toy gun. Like, that was bad. Yeah, like, come on, man. Was that a toy gun? Like,
yeah.
He was 12 years old.
And then, of course, you know, when Mike Brown got killed in Ferguson, Missouri, and then White America puts together a GoFundMe page for Darren Wilson, and what did he get, $2.5 million? Okay, so it's just like as the Anchorman had pointed out a few months back, Sarge, and I'm sure you're going to have to agree with us on this one right here. That's your bounty right there. their cities because they also had bounties on runaway slaves. You see, and then, of course, if these were slaves who had armed themselves in a rebellion like Nat Turner did, then, of course, you know, it was given of the American ethos saying, well, we got to go kill this NGR, you see, to set the example of, you know, to the other slaves, you know, not to have any type of resentment, no type of, how should we say, resentment, rebellion. Yes, sir. And then as Brother Malcolm had pointed out, you know, in the early 1960s, you had the field Negro and you had the house Negro.
The house Negro.
Now, this is what scares me about black police officers and black district attorneys. Let's look at Cop Marla Harris, who was the district attorney of San Francisco County.
And you heard and what she did, right? You heard what she did, right?
Oh, yeah.
She went to New Ghana, and she put the gay rights bill up there. Like, come on, man. To the motherland.
Yeah, trying to push
that
agenda
over there. They wouldn't have it
out there.
They wouldn't even address it.
No, that just ruined my day right there because of our studies of African societies, Brother Isaiah, Anchorman, Dynamite, as we all know, that day is against their cultures because, you know, the African society places great value on procreation, and that only happens between the union of man and woman. And if we recall, and let's turn back history now, then when Obama was the president, he went to Nairobi, Kenya, and he tried to push that agenda, and the president of Kenya said, well, Mr. Obama, I have to shut you down, man. That goes against our moral principles right here. Okay, so then Obama leaves Nairobi on his way to Addis Ababa on Air Force One, and the head of state of Ethiopia called him up on Air Force One and said, hey, babe, Barack, check this out, homie. I heard about your escapade in Nairobi. You're not coming to Addis Ababa with that bullshit, man, you know, so just keep it on flying.
Right.
Straight out.
When
he's about
landing.
Okay. Now, on another
side. When I read that, I was like, why is she going up there to get rid of these colonizers up there instead of pushing that agenda? Like, that shit is crazy.
Right. I remember when he was on TV and that gay marriage, he's talking about, oh, I'm so proud of you. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, man, but we had a black man in the office. Obviously, we didn't. You know? We had a person of color, though.
Didn't you guys see this transgender freak that the Biden administration was parading around the White House? This Dylan Mulvaney? This guy that has had the Bud Light made the commemorative can? Put his picture on a can? And they ought to start calling it butt light now. I mean, I'm telling you, this Biden administration is literally the administration of degenerates, perverts, and freaks. I ain't never seen nothing like it.
I agree with you, but however.
Well, I mean, this ain't the first one, though. Because, you know, Clinton was blowing his horn in the White House, and and not to mention what's that Skull and Bones Richard Nixon said in the book. I'm not saying it. Nixon said it, or at least somebody said Nixon said it. So he said, I ain't down with that faggoty shit. So that's why he said he ain't go down there to Skull and Bones.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something, man. This administration is out of the closet about it. That's what's so startling about it.
They got billions of dollars invested. What they got there? They always seem like they're trying to take over one of our movements, too. You know, it's like they get Black Lives Matter, and then you see who's got the mayor. I was in the protest.
Yeah,
I'm looking dead at them.
Who knows who's going to run that?
Here they got transvestites and with megaphones and screaming, what's his name?
Right.
And I'm over on the other side trying to do a Malcolm X speech, and they interrupted by what's his name, and they got close enough to, I shouldn't even talk about this, but I took the megaphone. I said, excuse me, can I see that for a second? And I said, what's his name? And they said, what's his name? And I went on with my speech with their megaphone, you know, into the brother from the Martin Luther King's organization. What was that, the Southern Christian Leadership Alliance? He said, look, here, I'm going to give them their megaphone. We're going to continue to rally over here with you. And we made some good alliances that day, which are still standing. And even Al Sharpton's organization, the with Sister 2X, doing some good work. As a matter of fact, with the Reparations Committee in Sacramento, just finished. Hopefully, it's not just a whitewash. But see, what gets me is this. They didn't have slavery in the Barbary Coast. They had the Barbary Coast kidnapping your drunk ass and send you off to Shanghai. And you could be white, black, Mexican. As long as your ass drunk enough to get shipped out, you come.
Man, you go there, one of them bars over there on Market Street, man, over there, man, in the Fillmore District, over there in, what is that, the Tenderloin District, you know, you guzzle on one, trap door opens up, man, you falling through, they smash you with some old whatever, man, and you waking up on the slow boat to China in the middle of Frisco Bay, and you would have been a daggone fool to go try to jump in the bay and swim, man, because Frisco Bay is full of sharks. Why do you think they had Alcatraz out there for you?
That's right. That's right. And them cold waters, you ain't gonna make it there. You ain't gonna make it to Angel Island, let alone make it to Alcatraz.
Exactly. What's gonna wind up happening is that one of them sharks swimming up under that Golden Gate Bridge, and the Golden Gate Bridge is the same place where I see all them ships coming in from China.
And what are they known for? And what they known for? They known for rampant homosexuality in San Francisco. They known for drag queen city. You know, if you see anything that looks too glamorous, my daddy told me, I was a teenager, he said, don't mess with it if it's too glamorous. He said, but we over here in Black Panther territory, you know? We over here in Oakland, Black Panther territory. And that's when I got my eyes open, and I said, this is probably the strongest black organization on the planet. You know what I mean? Shit, you think the Hell's Angels are strong. They're only strong because they got 1,000 motorcycles. But look, we'll come 2,000 men without motorcycles. Black power. Sorry, I know that laugh probably sounded diabolical as hell.
No, but it's all good.
But we got to do what we got to do. And look, we ain't going to be infiltrated either. Because they had the rich white folks. Where was they over there? In I know Brother Shanko is down with this. And you probably I know your brothers on the panel here is Sharp and sisters are Sharp too. But you know when they started the Carnegie Foundation, that was 1905. They started
the Carnegie Foundation.
J.P. Morgan and Rockefeller. Yeah, it was the Rich Boys Club. That was the Rich Boys Club, you know. And they used to meet up, and this is going to really hit y'all. They meet up where? They meet up in Niagara Falls, right? They got a little spot in Niagara Falls. This is 1905, right? So guess what? 1905, guess who else meet up in Niagara Falls? Oh, God. What's his name? W.E.B. Du Bois and 29 other black leaders.
Yeah.
They started the Niagara Foundation at the exact same year, 1905. They started the Niagara Foundation because they meet up where? Niagara Falls. And guess who else meet up in Niagara Falls? Oh, my God. That gets interesting, don't it? J.P. Morgan, the Rockefellers, Edison, Pratt. Frack was gangster. Frank the Frack was gangster. He was the one they send to do his dirty work. And I'm thinking, who else better for Frack to roll with is other than some brothers? Especially they had to build bridges over St. Louis. You know he was rocking with the brothers. Yeah. So that's how we got infiltrated. I think that's how we got infiltrated in the first place, because do the math. 1905, they start the Carnegie Foundation. 1905, we start Niagara Foundation. So look, 3 years pass, and all of a sudden now the Jews up in New York, they done got interested in helping the Niagara Foundation. I wonder why. Could it have something to do with Rockefeller and them? But anyway, they started.
The Rock Nation, all of that.
Yeah. So guess what they do? They go in 1907, they start the NAACP. And we thought that shit was for us. That's fucked up.
No,
excuse my language. That's messed up because we thought it was for us. We keep saying colored folks. That's us. We were sucker folks. Is what it was. It was never for us.
For Caucasian, for permission, and that's what that means. The WACD always
means
from Caucasian for permission. That's it. like
we
why got permission?
Because we thought it was for us, but they weren't for us. I'm sorry. They weren't for us. We thought they were for us. So we go running to them thinking they for us. But guess what? They're not. They're not for us.
Yeah.
The only ones that's for us is us. We the only ones for us. You know?
That's right.
Yeah, so we keep on going to the city council meetings. Yes, sir. Yeah, go to these city council meetings and sit in and see what's going on, you know. And like the Isley brothers say, fight the power. Because we're trying to get some laws changed. We have the anti-black hate crime bill. We got it written up. Just got to get passed. And once you get it passed in one state, what are you going to do? All of them going to go. You know, that's how you get the leverage on these politicians, too. You put your knee on these politicians' neck and tell them, look, no head. Tell them, look, the P-Funk said, no head, no backstage pass. But guess what? If y'all don't know what the people need, we ain't giving y'all the vote.
Right.
You know? Y'all want the vote? Well, give us what you need. You know?
Right.
So, anyway, just wanted to say that out there because so much.
We need reparations. We need all that.
I'm going to hold out for justice, though. If they can say, okay, you can't beat up a Chinese person and call him a China man at the same time, or you know, say it's a hate crime.
Right.
So here it is.
Right. Stop black hate banner at, because I remember like 2 years ago, about the Asians, like stop Asian hate. Like they had the whole band across on TV. I'd be like, "And where's our stop black hate banner at on TV?" I'll tell you one day and they don't care nothing about us. They never did.
That's why we patrol our own neighborhood. So we don't need their help. And they say, hey, is there promotion over there? No, man, ain't no promotion over here. Go on about your business, you know?
Right.
Exactly. So we got
they just want to be included. Yeah, they just want to be included on our issues. So they don't want to go publish about it.
Yes, okay, just like as, Ted Cruz says, who's at the election day in Denver, Colorado for him, because he's running for mayor of Denver, Colorado. But he says when it comes in regards to us, they always describe us in broad and ambiguous terms, such as people of
they
color.
They describe us as a militant.
I'm trying to understand, though, what is it that prevents any group of black people from banding together, patrolling their neighborhood, and reporting crime to the police, or doing what they can to deter it themselves? Because almost every state has a citizen's arrest statute. So, what is there to prevent white people from doing it?
But not
okay,
every
but
state.
But not every state,
but,
not every state does.
Right.
Not every state.
You're right.
So there's so few
North
that
Carolina,
don't. It doesn't matter in the big picture.
Well, and that, well, they should. See, the problem is they're not going by the constitutional laws. They're going by their own little
right.
rules and regulations that they want to make up. Their own
right.
state statutes.
Right.
And it's almost like a church
just
having
because
its,
they
call it,
have a badge. They try to abuse the power. Yeah, because they don't have a badge.
Every single law, the Constitution of the United States is always the supreme law of the land. No other law can be in, not in accordance with that law. I don't care if it's a dog
but
leash law.
A dumbass
so any
don't
law
know
that is
don't know it, though, and then you be trying to argue with him, and he still locks you up.
Any law.
He don't care
okay,
about
any law.
And then you'll win it in court, but now he done wait for your night. He done mess up your car. All kind of crap, you know?
No, but I understand what people are saying, that they don't apply the law appropriately. That's one thing. But no law
right,
can be against the Constitution.
About
if the state has a
law
that
degree,
explains
yes,
what power citizens have to make an arrest, as long as
the
citizens are acting in conformance with that law, they cannot be prosecuted. Now, even if they do, it's an abuse of their authority.
Yeah, but they
okay,
do it all the time, and
yes,
then
yes,
you win it later, but it's a waste of your time
right.
and effort. But as far as what you said, as far as, like, patrol,
well,
you
then
do
what
patrol
we're
out
saying, then, if you believe that, then what we're saying is that it is useless for black people to try to effect arrest themselves
no.
acting under their authority as citizens to stop crime in their own neighborhoods. If you believe
no,
that,
you
then say, black people
no,
might as well
that,
not make the effort.
That's what we do. But that's what we do.
Okay.
I don't think we should tell black people it's not even worth trying to make the effort when crime in certain communities is so rampant.
No, not to tell
okay.
people that. I'm talking about as far as knowing it for yourself. And then say if you get pulled over and whatever. No, say you're walking down the street and a cop asks you for your ID and say, look, man. First of all, I ain't even talking to you. I'm not giving you shit, and I'm going to continue on my way. Now, you continue
right,
on
now,
your way, he grabs
you
by your arm, and you back push him in his face, right? And now he goes for his gun. You have to take it from him and hold his ass on the ground until some fucking sergeant or somebody come. So is it worth it?
Right.
No, it's not
now,
worth
now,
it.
Now, remember, now, having been there, done that,
I know how this is.
Okay, gentlemen, I muted you guys. Let's be simple right here, okay? Because this is very, very
one
good
at
show
a time,
that we
bro.
Have.
One at a time.
Just one at a time. And please don't hang up. I'm going to unmute everybody's microphone. But I just want to say this right here. As Dr. Newton had pointed out in Alameda County, California, that any law that is so ambiguous that it cannot be understood by the common man is not a statute on me. Okay.
Okay, I understand that you guys are rightfully concerned about abuses of authority. I'm not saying abuses of authority by any governmental official to include a police officer does not occur. That's not what I'm saying as I'm about to say what I'm about to say. I'm telling you what the Constitution and the law does. Now, it is up to us to expose improper conduct of police authorities. Now, having said that, when a police officer stops a citizen for any purpose, to have a conversation or for purposes of an investigative stop, a police officer can ask a citizen any question they want because they got First Amendment rights too. And the citizen has a First Amendment right and another right under the Fifth Amendment to tell the police officer to go pound sand if you don't want to talk to the cop. We get that. We understand that. That's a given, okay? Now, next. However, if the police officer in making the investigative stop has a reason pertaining to the person's identity, which is critical to the investigative stop, then he can require the person to produce identification if that is part of the reason for the investigative stop. Why? Because he may have either definitely or possibly identified the person as an offender in a previous offense about which he has knowledge. So it depends on the circumstances. And if those circumstances are the ones I just outlined, then that person can be lawfully detained to determine what his actual identity is if he doesn't want to tell the officer. Even if the officer is mistaken, provided he has a reasonable suspicion to make the inquiry. Otherwise,
right,
you can tell him to go. I want to talk to your ass. Leave me the hell alone. Get away from me. Yeah, you can tell the cop that.
I don't recommend you do that in the city of Los Angeles, is because the LAPD does not mind busting your head wide open. Okay,
see, now you're talking about abuse of authority. What do you want me to do?
That's all
I don't believe that you, I ain't gonna give you shit. I don't care about your goddamn investigation. I'm not helping you in your investigation.
Very recently, the officer has the legal right to use force to detain you. If you say, I don't care about your authority, then that officer has the legal right to use force to detain you. Now, you got to accept the consequences of that. That's the way it is. We're not talking about detainment. We're talking about detainment of any sort.
Hold on, Sarge.
Okay,
go ahead, Mike. Then I'm gonna let Sarge come back in.
Oh, okay. You should keep them to the Constitution, and you should record them while you're doing it too, if you can, or have someone else record it. And a good way to help would be to record other people when it's happening to them. And then you can get their names and numbers and help them. But like Brother Shane Ford said, even if you have, I know I was in the right because I was drinking coffee and the guy asked me, what am I doing? I said, what does it look like I'm doing? I said, there's a Starbucks. This is a one of them fancy cups that you probably can't afford on a police salary. No, I'm just joking. One of those silver cups, thermos-like cup, you know. I said, I just got my coffee. I'm standing here charging up my electric bike, you know, which you probably can't afford on a cop's salary either. So basically, what are you doing? I said, I'm sitting there drinking my coffee, charging up my bike. He said, well, did you ask permission?
Right.
I said, well, I'll stay on there talking to the guy that works in there for a little while. He ain't say nothing about it. I said, if you got a problem with it, I'll unplug it. And then he said, what's your name? I said, interview's over. I said, you're free to go.
I felt bad because he actually took it and walked the fuck away,
got in his car and drove. I felt bad. I was like, oh man, damn, I'm probably fucked his day up. But how many people he gonna mess up today though? How many people's lives he gonna mess up over some BS, over some nonsense, over nothing, over a man sitting there drinking his coffee? Now, if I had been in a really bad mood and start cussing him out, then it would have been, okay, now it's disorderly conduct, you know? Now it's grab your arm, and let's see if your kung fu can match mine, and I know it can't, but that's okay. I usually don't let them do anything to me that I don't allow them to do to me, personally. And I know a lot of police brutality firsthand, because I remember a cop tried to take my head and push it up against the wall. It was over disorderly conduct, because, you know, when you're young, 18, 19, whatever, you drink a little bit, you know, you might like this. But anyway, there's no reason to take somebody's head and try to ram it up against the wall. But guess what? I took my feet and I pushed back against the wall, and he wound up on the other end of that other wall. You know what I'm saying? So I really don't know. I got a disdain for their asses because, first of all, it's almost like a black cop, even though I know you was, and that's all good. I ain't got nothing against you. I'm just saying, and this is my opinion, and I know you're not doing it anymore, so good for you. I've even done security. As far as when we patrol our neighborhoods, if we see our people doing something, you think for 1 minute we're going to report it to them goddamn Ku Klux Klan? Hell no. We ain't reporting it to them. I'm telling them to stay out of here. And I tell the young brothers, don't kill each other and don't string out your sisters on bullshit and don't be trying to turn in the young girls into hookers and don't be flashing their guns. I said, because y'all think that shit cool. I said, well, and some coward-ass cop going to come up here and unload his on y'all. That's what I told you, some brothers in the hood. So we do patrol our hoods, and there have been some times when I talked to a black officer, and he actually gave us a black power fist out the window riding off. Because I told him, I know damn well you're old enough to remember how the dogs down there and Selma and stuff tearing into the women and the kids and they take the fire hose strong they rip the clothes off of you. The fire hose is so strong they rip the clothes off of you. You know? And what's his name? Walt. Oh, fucking prejudiced ass Wallace down there at the time, you know. He wanted to make it I think we are like when Martin came, I'll be done in 1 minute. Martin came and said, we're gonna come looking presentable. We're not coming in no blue jeans and stuff. We're going to come looking nice. And so that the whole world will see that they are the ones that are wrong, you know. But now we ain't coming like that. We ain't coming like that. We're wearing black BDUs. We're carrying AK-47s. We're carrying 9mm. Shotguns and all kind of shit, and they really don't want to fuck with us. But that's all good. So we don't break no laws. We're all law-abiding citizens. We ain't got no felonies, so we can buy as many guns as our wallet can afford. So I'm just saying, and I make good money on my job, so I can afford a bunch of them. Matter of fact, I go to the range and just ball wild at the range, empty the range out by the time I finish. But that's all good. All power to the people, and it's all love for the black folks. We just got to wake our people up, you know, where they at. Wake them up. And somebody like you, talk to our people because you know the law. You can help. And this brother right here, what's your name, brother? What's your name, brother?
Brother Isaiah.
Isaiah.
What's up, brother? Yeah, he's been with us from day zero. Yeah, he's got East Coast correspondent. Yeah, he's been with us for the last 7 years.
Yeah, I recognize your voice, brother. I recognize you got a lot of black power with you. But I was just saying, everybody's useful in their own way, you know? Like, we got Brother Shankor, a little fucking genius, man. I'm telling you now. These people better be taking notes when y'all talk. I'm telling you now.
Because we research our stories very deeply. And then also, too,
so
now,
what
we got to talk now.
We love you. New Black Horror Party, we love you.
We got one more hour. Now, what we want to talk about now. Okay, because we spent the first hour talking about the dump. Okay, now we're getting ready to talk about the governor of the great state of Florida, Ron DeSantis. Me personally, I think DeSantis is going to jail. I think the state of Florida needs to go up there to impeach him. Mr. DeSantis has signed into law in the great state of Florida that you do not need a background check and you do not need a permit to CCW. Where have we heard this fervor before? Oh, yeah, George Zimmerman, who killed, you know, Trayvon Martin, you know, a few years back, you know, when his trend had started going on. Then Mike Brown, Darren Wilson, Dennis Hill Ford in Los Angeles, Mario Woods in San Francisco, the brother there, Eric Gardner with the loose cigarettes there in New York State. You see what I'm saying? Then you getting all these huge increases in this police violence against unarmed black people. Okay? So what we're showing here is the hypocrisy of the current fervor that's going on here in the United States. You got all these Trumpsters out here blowing dog whistles with each other and stuff like that. Just like with the Trumpster when he with the January 6th insurrection. You see what I'm saying? You know, the people go up there to the U.S. Congress and commit all types of crazy stuff. You know, they had one brother up there, and I think they gave him the maximum, I think, of about 8 years. And then the crazy guy who was sitting up there in one of the representatives' office with the headdress on with the horns coming out, the QAnon dude or whatever. Yeah.
Oh,
What that was about, brother Isaiah, these, you know, ultra-conservative individuals, you know, these Gump supporters, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, we're following his orders. But getting back to the governor of Florida, Mr. DeSantis, you need to resign. Mr. DeSantis, you belong in jail.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is a race. Black history, not only from the state of Florida.
I was going to say that too. Like,
they're
going to erase black history, right? Like I said, the whole black history up there. Because if we talk about it, it's going to be a damn fine. They're going to charge them if they break up any racism up there. If they're going to about black history, and that's going to be a fine right there. I'll be like, man, I'll talk to the brothers and sisters up there. Like,
oh, yes, sir, absolutely. And see, basically what it is that they want to still keep our people in these contemporary times digitally, mentally enslaved, okay? Just like with the Saudis, you know, have went off the U.S. Gold standard or the U.S. Currency standard. They're getting with the Chinese now. You see, just like how the Chinese and like the Belgians, just like the Arabs did, you know, according to Professor P.L.O. Lumumba, who have constantly invaded the continent, okay, and have taken all the resources out of it. But yet, though, they call us savages and things of this nature right here. But this is where they got all the information on engineering. This is where they got all the information on navigation. See, they don't want our children, you know, knowing about that. And that, folks, is an act that is wrong within itself. As long as our children are going up here listening to this hip-hop madness, using the B-word,
new hip-hop shit.
I'm trying to understand how it is that the governor of Florida should be subject to impeachment for passing into law of a law that is already affirmed by 25 other states. 25 other states have a concealed carry. He's only signing into law a bill that was passed by the Florida legislature. What has he done that's impeachable?
Okay, but what I'm saying over there, Sarge, is this, is that he is creating the FERP, okay, of George Zimmerman, who went out there and shot and killed 17-year-old young Trayvon Martin. And the cold part about it, just like Derek Chauvin, his ass should be doing 25 to life. It's because when Zimmerman was playing, you know, Paul Blart, mall cop, neighborhood watch captain, okay, he called the police department and the police said, we on our way and intervened. So, and why is he out there with a .44 Magnum? Man, we all know where the Magnum is.
He had a 9mm, wasn't a .44 Magnum. It was a Caltech
9mm.
Now, come on now.
Okay,
it wasn't
besides,
a .44 Magnum now.
Okay, but Sarge, what was he doing out there with a weapon
anyway? I'm happy to tell you.
Let me say this right here. And I really wish Brother Che was with us, but he's busy in Denver right now because, you know, he has more knowledge on it. When Kyle Rittenhouse, a juvenile, had left the state of Illinois and crossed into Wisconsin with a firearm. He's saying that he was going to protect property. In actuality, it was Rittenhouse's intent to go out there to commit murder by behind the office of protecting property. George Zimmerman, who was told by the police department in Sanford, Florida, and I've driven through Sanford, Florida, and I didn't know where the case was happening at because Governor DeSantis, I will never visit your raggedy state again, and I want all my money back that I spent on taxes, on gas, and food down there, DeSantis. Now, but he used a 44 Magnum and shoots and kills this young man.
He didn't use a 44 Magnum, again.
Yeah, because that was unjustified.
Compact.
Okay, but sorry.
He was looking for an opportunity to shoot somebody, though, is the point. He was not just carrying the gun. He was looking for an opportunity. I mean, look, he went and said, I'm self-appointed deputy. You know, that's basically, see, like when we patrol the neighborhoods, we don't patrol the neighborhoods, we're looking for trouble. You know, we don't go down that when I'm just saying. That he was looking, basically, I'm going to put it blunt. He was looking for a black man to kill.
For some,
and he wasn't looking for a straight, but see, he was but he wasn't, he's not like a strong guy or something. So it's not like he's going to pick somebody like O.J. Simpson or Jim Brown to tangle with, you know. He's say, okay, this boy's young. He's athletic, but he's young, and so since he's with his youth and my age, I can outsmart him, and I'm just, you know, he took the opportunity, killed him, you know. Murder's murder, you know.
But do let me say something about Jim Brown.
It'll give me time to detail all of the evidence that shows that Zimmerman's actions were completely in accordance with the laws of self-defense. I suspect you're not going to give me enough time to do that, but I can say this. I can say this, that it was. It wasn't a stand-your-ground case. It was a case of simple self-defense. All of the evidence is in complete accord with everything he did being justified under the law. Everything.
As a man, would you say he was? It was cowardice? Would you say it was a cowardice?
You can characterize it that way, but you can't characterize it as a crime.
If you're getting your ass whooped by a teenager, can you just take the goddamn L?
Sir, let me explain to you. There is evidence here that came out in the trial by two uninvolved witnesses who attested to the same thing. They said that Trayvon Martin was astride George Zimmerman and pounding the back of his head into the pavement. The injuries sustained by George Zimmerman corroborate that witness statement. He said he was losing consciousness. And he also said that he feared the firearm that he was carrying would be taken from him and used against him. All of those things are perfectly reasonable grounds to use self-defense against a teenager, 17 years old, who was banging your head into the paper.
If he didn't have the gun, here's a question for you. If he didn't have the gun, would he have approached him?
Okay. I mean, look, we can do this all day long. All right?
The law allows you to use
whatever instrumentality you possess, whether it be a knife, whether it be a firearm, whether it be a cane, anything you possess to use, if necessary, deadly force to protect yourself against a violent, imminent physical threat to your health or your safety. So it doesn't matter the instrumentality. What matters is whether or not you are justified in using it in the first place.
That was written for white folks. If it was a black man that done it to a white kid, he'd be in jail.
That's not true. Now I can give you five examples of a black man lawfully defending himself with deadly force against a white offender. I can give you five.
Well,
just off the top of my head.
I'm sure. I'm sure you can. You can give us 1,000, I'm sure.
I know, but people say this all the time as though that negates this individual action by this individual person. It doesn't. He had the right to use deadly force to protect himself against an imminent deadly threat based on all of the evidence I saw after dozens, if not hundreds of hours of studying this case on my...
Okay, well, I know you got good law advice, so maybe that could be helpful for our people. So you ever seen a janitor?
Wait, what's the guy, Alvin Bragg, just this black man, this black immigrant that Alvin Bragg just charged with murder and had to drop it because of the public outcry after this black man defended himself against another black man who had shot him three times before he took the gun away from him and killed him with his own gun?
Self-defense is an immutable
right that everyone has no matter what.
All right.
Against whomever, even a police officer.
Okay, well, let me just throw this in there. You ever seen one of them industrial strength mops? So the janitor, he's cleaning up with an industrial strength mop, right? I mean, big ass mop. You ever seen one of them things? It's like getting
hit
with an axe
handle. Oh yeah, I wielded a bunch of them when I worked as a janitor.
Okay, so you know you can kill somebody with that, right?
Of course I could. It's like rifle you use in bayonet drill. You can kill them with the button.
Right. I would get to a point. Get to a real quick point that so if he's got that. Right, and then he's a janitor in school, and then the lady says she's looking for a kid, you know, can you check in the bathroom, and he looked like he's drunk, and he said, get the fuck out, and next thing you know, he raises an industrial strength mop. Now, me being in the security field at the time, draw down on his ass, I had to go to court about that shit, you know? But like I told the judge, if it was you, I said, if your wife had asked him that question and he raised that mop at her, I'd have pulled it on him again, you know?
Any use or offer of deadly force has to be justified by the circumstances. You've got to look at each individual circumstance and each individual case to make that determination. So you need all the facts available to determine whether or not the action was lawful.
Okay, Sarge, right? That, since you made them and you know what they feel like and everything, that's way more deadly than a goddamn 17-year-old. You know? So why the hell do I have to, as a United States citizen, have to face court, face probation, face any damn thing for something like that? Should have been able to unload on his ass, for real, but I'm not a coward.
Let me interrupt you
but I ain't going to be stupid either.
Sir? Okay, let me interrupt you 1 second, Dynamite. Okay, we got a caller here from area code 909. The last three is 943. What's your name and where you calling from? Your mic is unmuted.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm calling from California, and my name is Susan.
Okay.
Yes, good evening. Very good conversation.
No problem.
I did want to mention, just because I'm a person that likes to look things up and find out what's what, because unfortunately our country and our states will make laws that make no sense whatsoever, but because it's law, have to be abided by. And so the self-defense stand your ground law in Florida, it had changed in 2005. The state legislature had added the stand your ground to the self-defense. And what it does is allow individuals to use deadly force if they reasonably believe that such force is necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm to themselves or others. And additionally, it says the law authorizes deadly force to prevent imminent commission of a forcible felony. So, it goes on from there. But the main point is it doesn't necessarily mean that it could be a mop. It could be, you know, a toy. It could be anything and use that forcibly in order to because they believe that, you know, the person attacking them or whatever that they're going after is reasonably dangerous to their lives. But, I mean, the same note could have been done in reverse, I think, as far as the teenager. No disrespect, but he could have actually shot Zimmerman because he felt like he was under attack or his life was in danger because you had this man following him. You know, he's just trying to get home from the store or wherever he was coming home from. And so he could have reasonably shot Zimmerman as well and claimed self-defense, stand my ground, because this creep is creeping me out, following me through the complex. So,
That's right.
So
okay.
It could have
but
worked
as you know,
both ways.
Susan, okay, but as you
I'm
know,
sorry,
Susan, in the state of California, as you know, ma'am, in the state of California, okay, it is against the law for you to possess a firearm, okay, unless you have a CCW permit. Now, the question is that I'm going to unmute Sergeant Mike, okay. As you know, ma'am, in California, you're familiar with the Rodney King case, okay, back in 1991. Now, Mr. King being struck 52 times with a baton, would he have been justified to defend himself? Okay, because see, that was not an arrest that they were making. That there was straight out police brutality. Okay, because he was unarmed. Okay, they struck him 54 times with a baton. Plus, they took turns striking him: Lawrence Powell, Timothy Wynn, okay, and Stacy Coons, because Stacy Coons was the supervisor or the sergeant out of the Foothill Division of the Los Angeles Police Department that kept discharging a taser into Mr. King and then yanking the tasers out of his flesh and reloading the taser and shooting him with it again. And from what I understand on the research that I've done, that any time that the taser is deployed, then maybe Sarge can answer this, and I'm going to unmute Sarge's mic. Okay, hold on, Sarge, let me finish. Okay, and that he was in violation of the law right there. Now, if Mr. King had the resources there available to him to defend himself, would Rodney King would have been justified, you see, to use force against those officers that were pulling a case of attempted murder on him? And also, too, ma'am, I'm quite sure you're well aware of the case of Deadweiler in 1966. I'm sure you're aware of the case of Eula Love as well, too. Okay, comments, Ms. Susan, and thank you so very much for calling in, ma'am.
No problem. The two cases are different in the aspect of Zimmerman was not a cop. He was a citizen, just like the victim. And so, and then you have officers that are clearly, clearly outside of their jurisdiction as far as the amount of force that was used against Rodney King. That was evident, and I don't know anybody who would disagree with that. It wasn't an outright beating, you know, to hurt him. It wasn't a matter of he's resisting, so we need to kill him, and we need to use a certain amount of force. No. This is an outright beating, okay? And there's, I would, you know, dare to find anybody that would disagree with that.
They've been
very bold. Well, that's because it was there. To not say that it wasn't would be to deny what you would see with your own eyes, you know, as far as that goes.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Now, I'm not saying the man wasn't.
Now,
the man wasn't totally innocent. But he did not deserve that. He did not deserve it, and he got paid for it, but he did not deserve it to begin with. You know, nobody does.
And as you and as you are well aware of the fact, too, Ms. Susan, that Rodney King is deceased. He allegedly had drowned in the swimming pool in the area of L.A. County called the Dara Hike. But anyway, okay, what happened was, okay, now, there was a book that I read written by a guy by the name of Daryl F. Gates. And I'm sure you know who he is, Sarge. He is the former chief of the LAPD. And what had happened was is that when Chief Gates had went to work the next day, he saw the reports out of Foothill Division at First Sergeant Coon and officers there that arrested Rodney King because he was allegedly going an excessive amount of speed on the 210 freeway, and they caught up with him on the corner of Foothill and Osborne. All right. So Coon writes up the report. That, yeah, we had a use of force, we followed all protocols, blah, blah, blah. Bill Gates goes up there and says, yeah, you guys did an excellent job out there. And then no sooner, now this is Gates' words, because in his book called Cheat, right? No sooner did he approve that garbage, here comes some reporters from the local news station and says, hey, Chief Gates, you got him? And he says, yeah, sure. He says, hey, man, have we got a main blockbuster video for you right here. And get ready. Okay. Now, with Gates, with his insensitivity, and Gates, in my opinion, was a psychopath because I did read his book called Cheat. And he tried a good beating. He also made the statement is that black people do not have normal veins when the chokehold is applied to them because the veins in a neck do not reopen like they do in normal people. Okay, so then they decided, okay, to have a change of venue in the case and take it out of Los Angeles County and take it to Ventura County. And guess who you was the main resident of Ventura County? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, your 40th president by the name of Ronald Wilson Reagan, who is also the former governor of California that signed the Mulford Act into law in 1968 that makes it illegal for you to this very day to possess a firearm in the state of California, which is a violation of your Second Amendment rights. Okay, so it led to the world's worst, or I should say the U.S.'s worst riot in U.S. urban history. Then what happened was Papa Bush, who was the president at the time in 1992, had stated onto the nation is that, yeah, what's happening in Los Angeles is going to stop because according to their records and the FBI, that was the worst riot in U.S. urban history. It was pretty bad. And then he says that the governor of California at that time is the Florida National Guard. But George W. Bush says is that I'm sending in, no, George H.W. Bush, Bush is Papa Bush. He says I'm sending in the regular army. And then he also had stated that he is ordering that the FBI and the U.S. Department of Justice go arrest Powell, Coon, Brasino, and Wynn, and which they did. You say, okay, but however, they did not get, you know, too much time in a federal trial as they should have gotten it because, ladies and gentlemen, you know it, I know it, they know it, that when you hit somebody with a baton 52 times, that is not trying to make an arrest. That is attempted murder. Now, keep in mind, in the state in California, now I'm going to hear what you guys say about this dog right up your alley, okay? Is that they were only charged with a violation of somebody excessive force under the color of authority as opposed to attempted murder. Comment, please. Go ahead, Sarge. Let's hear it.
Well, at last. Okay, look here. First of all, a person in most every state I know of, especially the one I worked in, is not legally able to invoke a right of self-defense when they are committing an unlawful act. In this case, initially, Rodney King was resisting arrest. Now, we can argue about the level of force the LAPD should have been using against him, but there can be no doubt whatsoever that initially he resisted arrest. So, therefore, he cannot invoke the right of self-defense against those officers as they use force to attempt to arrest him. Now, let me put a caveat in there based on what I just said. If there is a point at which the LAPD or any police officer has gone beyond what is legally lawful necessary to effect an arrest, and it does appear reasonably to the person being beaten or subdued that now their intent is to murder them, then at that point, the legal right of self-defense reapplies. The question is whether or not that would have ever applied during that particular incident. And that's the problem with this, because everybody wants to cite absolutes one way or the other. And in many cases like this, when the dynamics change, so does the law. So again, it would depend. Certainly not initially. Rodney King had no legal right to invoke self-defense against the officers attempting to subdue him as he was resisting arrest after being stopped for a major traffic violation.
Okay, Sarge, have you seen the video of them being beating Rodney King? If you look at a motion picture called Malcolm X,
I watched it, I don't know, 70 or 80 times. At the time that was going on, I was a use of force instructor. I was a police firearms instructor. I reviewed the Los Angeles Police Department on the use of the baton, their academy training protocols. I read them. I watched that film 50 or 60 times. I'm very familiar with the case and everything, including the LAPD's own protocols on it. And one of the things I think was shameful is the manner in which the LAPD walked away from their own training protocols, because I read them.
I see. I see. Okay, now, very interesting you should say that, Sarge, because the LAPD used to force that expert who went to Minnesota when they had the trial of Derek Chauvin had stated that the methods that Chauvin used on George Floyd was beyond their comprehension. Now, anytime that the LAPD would say something like that, then that goes to show there's something extremely wrong what happened in Minneapolis with Mr. Floyd.
Whenever I hear any political appointee in any law enforcement agency make statements like that without detailed corroboration as to why they said it, I'm always suspicious. Always. Because I know how this works.
Why is that,
when you're ready to throw the cops under the bus. I ain't impressed until you go into detail.
George Floyd, he could have defended himself in this case, though, because, like you said, the law changed when the circumstance changed.
Right.
Well, I'll admit that. The only question was, did it arise to that level? I mean, this guy was, you got to remember, this guy had been in the joint for the last 5 or 6 years. He'd been pumping iron in the joint. He's a big man. I've been there. I'm pretty big myself. I was over 6 feet tall, about 210 pounds. I could bench press almost 400 pounds. And believe me, I had a lot of trouble with a lot of suspects, okay? And believe me, when these guys are amped up, when they're on angel dust and everything else, they've been in the joint pumping iron too, believe me, you got a mess on your hands trying to get them under arrest when they resist.
Okay.
So the fact that, you know, initially they testified as to what happened in the initial confrontation. And I saw the whole film, including the part they regularly did not display, where he was throwing cops off like a terrier shaking off rats.
Who?
So believe me, it ain't something people like to portray it.
Okay, go ahead, Susan.
The amount of time
that
the officers had spent with George Floyd initially trying to get him into the vehicle, they had spent a lot of time talking to him. And, you know, he was kind of out of his mind, incoherent, and then they finally agreed, or he agreed to get in, but then when he started to get in, he needed to get out, he wanted out, then they told him to lay down, and so they tried that, and they had to pull him back out because he was freaking out. They told him they would roll down the windows. I mean, they were trying to be accommodating to him in a situation. They had an ambulance coming, which took forever, and we still don't know what happened there. There was somebody dropped the ball, but anyway, as far as to figure out what was going on with him, so that they could do their jobs, the officers, as far as take him in or whatever it was that they needed to do. And so they did spend an amount of time with him trying to accommodate him, and then it was finally, you know, that's it. We're done as far as trying to accommodate you now. This is ridiculous, and, you know, he's tried to go away. There's more to the story than what is on the surface being told. You know, there was connections to him and the officer as far as working nightclub and their past and all of that. So there's more to that story.
There was some jealousy going on too. The cop and Floyd, a woman.
Okay, now, hold on, folks, okay, because we're winding down to our last 31 minutes here. Now, here's one thing that we have not covered that is in our title tonight. Okay, what are the opinions of everybody who's on this platform tonight in regard to the state of California holding the hearings on reparations for just compensation for chattel slaves?
California was never a slave state.
Okay, now, man. Okay, now, let me point something out about reparations. I understand your point on that, but however, you are aware of the fact that California became a state in 1849, correct? Because of the gold rush up there by Sutter's Mill up there in El Dorado County?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, are you aware of the fact, man, that you did have Southern slave owners that brought their slaves to California to go in there and to extract the gold out the gold mines over there off of Highway 49? Are you aware of that fact, ma'am?
Yeah, there were also Chinese slaves too, Asian slaves.
Okay,
hold on,
ma'am. Please just bear with me. So Chinese and other groups were never subject to chattel slavery as black people were here in America. Now, just hear me out. Now, this is something, Brother Isaiah, you brought to my attention about Biddy Mason, who had owned, wind up owning property down in downtown Los Angeles, which is currently mm-hmm. where you got all the tall skyscrapers in LA. Okay, now, isn't it true, Brother Isaiah, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because you brought this to my attention, is that Biddy Mason was a slave that was by the slave owner out of Texas. Okay, she was forced to go work in the gold mines as per what the master told her, because the slave only knew what the master told him, because it was pretty much against the law for a slave to read. So other blacks who were free came to California, okay, had informed Ms. Mason is that California is not a slave state and that California did prohibit slavery in its state constitution. So what had happened was is that the slave trader from Texas took Ms. Mason from Placerville, heading down through San Joaquin Valley, and then got into Los Angeles County, which is all southern, because Southern California, as you know, ma'am, is all desert, and Northern California is all green with the farmland is and what have you. And the sheriff of L.A. County informed the slave owner that you're in violation of the law, and this woman is set to go free. So she went free, and I believe that Ms. Mason, according to you, Brother Isaiah, correct me if I'm wrong, because I did promise to do a story just on her, and I am going to do it, but I've got a lot going on, and I have to research the story. Okay, and she started a series of businesses there in downtown Los Angeles as well, too. Now, also, too, ma'am, another reason for the reparations, Ms. Susan, is because, as you know, Hollywood came into being 1909, 1912, and the granddaddy of them all down there were the Warner Brothers, Universal, and Paramount Pictures. Okay, so when such entertainers in the 30s and in the 40s had came to Los Angeles, they could not reside in Hollywood. They had to go stay at a place that they tore down during when Bradley was the mayor, on the corner of 45th and Central Avenue called the Dunbar Hotel. Everybody stayed there. Junior, Ozzy Davis, Ruby Dee, Billie Holiday, Cab Calloway, and what have you. And then not to mention the fact that there was a black woman who had owned that land that was raw, which is now Hollywood and Beverly Hills. And then the movie moguls came in and they took her property as well, too, before they built it up. Now, what do you have to say on that, Ms. Susan? Okay, and please just let Ms. Susan speak. Go ahead, ma'am.
Well, I would say as far as your claim to chattel slavery still wouldn't apply to any of those scenarios. The first one being the woman that was told that it's illegal in California, and so they had to release her. And so because it was the slave owner that brought her here, and California has no jurisdiction over anybody themselves as far as, telling them their business. And if they were breaking the law, if they decided to be residents here and they continue to break that law, then, yeah, they needed to do something about that. And that's one, just one out of, several incidences across the southern states, not California, of slavery incidents. Now, as far as the other Hollywood actors and actresses, and being told that they needed to stay here and not in Hollywood themselves, again, that's an injustice, bigotry type thing, but it's not slavery. They were still being paid, and they chose to stay and to work. If they didn't like the circumstances, they could have left and did something else, but they chose to stay, and that was their dues that they paid to be famous in Hollywood. So again, they had the freedom to choose, do I want to stay and live here just so I can work in Hollywood, or do I want to leave because I deserve better?
Can I add to this, Shabaga?
Go ahead.
Okay, hold on, Sarge. Sarge, I have to mute you out. I'm going to mute you right back on, Sarge, because there's one thing that I have to bring up. L.A.'s first black architect was a gentleman by the name of Paul Williams, who was a graduate of the University of Southern California, commonly referred to as USC. That sits in the heart of South Central Los Angeles, too, by the way. He designed homes for Frank Sinatra, Lucille Ball, various other prominent figures in the Beverly Hills, L.A. area, and he also had designed a restaurant out there at Los Angeles International Airport. But Mr. Williams could not live in those neighborhoods where he had designed those homes. Okay, Sarge, it's up to you, Sarge.
I'm sure you are familiar with the Compromise of 1850, aren't you? Compromise of 1850 was in response to the border wars in Missouri and the border states between the slave-owning South and the northern states. They were having, the Jayhawkers and everything else, all the turmoil that was going on. It had to do with slavery and anti-slavery, people wanting, resisting the expansion of slavery into the free territories. As a result, Congress cobbled together the Compromise of 1850, and they admitted California as a territory along with others under the Compromise of 1850. And they told California if they were going to be admitted as a state to the Union, they had to accept the interests of the slave-holding states and adopt the Fugitive Slave Act, which was a federal law, and observe it in order to be admitted to the Union. Now, they did so. Now, again, that was a condition of their being admitted to the Union. Now,
okay, Sarge, let me interrupt you right there. You answered Susan's question better than I did. The Fugitive Slave Act. So which means is if I was a slave in Alabama and I left Montgomery and I bum-rushed California, in the middle of an earthquake, what have you, or a cyclone bomb coming off the Pacific and whatnot. And then if I was apprehended by the U.S. Marshal, okay, I could be taken back to the slave state, and only Lord knows what happened to the slaves that got taken back to the slave owners, Matt. Okay? You see, so therefore, folks, when we discuss reparations, your whole gross national product of the whole entire United States benefited from it. Okay, your big cities, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Los Angeles, San Francisco. Look what they did to William Leidesdorf, who was out of San Francisco, who was a black landowner up there doing the gold rush there. They took his land away from him up there in Folsom, California. And keep in mind, Folsom is a very prominent community and is known for the prison.
Like,
my point is this, David, this is a freeway.
Like, we have another caller joining us out of Los Angeles. Go ahead, Sarge.
Hey, my point is this. As evil as slavery was, like a modern-day evil, where you have the right to kill your baby in the womb, which is completely legal and utterly wrong, like slavery was, it is legal. It was legal then, no matter how evil it was. I have never heard for reparations 8 generations removed for actions that were legal at the time they were done. Slavery was a legally established constitutional law enacted by Congress, which the state of California accepted in 1850. And like everything else dealing with slavery, we are talking about legal actions no matter how evil. So again, to say that reparations are owed 8 generations hence for legal actions centuries ago where everyone involved is dead is something entirely novel and heretofore never realized.
Sarge, listen to me very carefully. There's Dr. Joyce DeGruy. She should be finished with her studies by now because she had stated, you know, about 5 years ago that she's going to do a study to show how the gross national product of the whole United States of America benefited from it. Now, also, too, you could borrow on your slave. You could mortgage your slave. You see what I'm saying? You could abuse your slave. You see the offspring that the slave had. The slave master could violate 13, 14-year-old slave girls. You see what I'm saying? That there's what Black Friday was all about. It's about how they'll take 13, 14-year-old black girls and put them up there on an auction block, sell them off to the slave owner's son so he can go up there and breed his own slaves. Read all the biography of Malcolm X, man. You know what I'm saying? Oh, it's ugly. It's brutal. And then not to mention the fact of what California did in Taft, California, in Kern County, where your current Speaker of the House is from in 1972, where white people had ran every back citizen, literally ran them out of their houses there in Taft, California. Then not to mention the fact of those who had owned land in California for agricultural purposes that had their land taken from them, just like what happened in Manhattan Beach, California. You see? Under the power of eminent domain. And we got a caller here out of 323. Your last four is 8583. Just simply press one if you'd like to come on air and speak. Okay, so go ahead, Susan, your rebuttal on that. Then to Mr. Dynamite, then to Isaiah, and then the grand finale with Sarge.
Gosh. Everything's pretty much been said. I will just close by saying that out of the slave states that did exist, California had offered, you know, certain things, and there are anecdotal stories where the government did maybe encroach upon rights. I can't speak to that. I would have to look more into that, the people who had their land taken, if they were compensated for it or if they were just kicked off their land and said, kick rocks, get out of here. Of course, that would be wrong. But again, I can't really speak to that, you know, specifically any opinion on that. I would also say that there were opportunities that were, you know, offered in California that many states didn't offer. And I thought, you know, according to, I don't know, history, there were things that were still wrong. Racism still existed, but you're never going to get rid of it. And it's not against the law to be racist. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's not against the law, unfortunately. But that's just the way it is. But, you know, I think if we focus on the good things, I know that there are wrongs, but, that you know, I mean, this is the 2023 already, and I don't see – I mean, I'm Hispanic in nature, my background. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as far as paying reparations goes, I'm barely making it, you know. I mean, I'm having to decide tonight to eat hot dogs, you know, and so to take more money from my paycheck to pay for reparations. It's like, oh, okay, well, they're not even alive anymore, which shouldn't matter, but it does, because it's like, okay, can we just right you from this point on? But what California wants to do is basically give everybody, or give, you know, that had their ancestry, you know, wronged. Here's a house, basically, here's the keys, here's a bunch of money, and so will that be enough? And for some it will, and for others it won't. And so I'm going to be punished unless I can afford to move for something I had nothing to do with. So, but agree that it
okay,
was
okay, now, Susan, anyway. Let me say this. Okay, let me say this here, Susan, and you might want to spread that to those in California who feel the way that you do. Instead of taxing in California, I'm going to tell you who got the money to pay for the reparations in California. The Zuckerberg, the Elon Musk, the Bezos, okay? This garbage that they put up here on these internet, you say, is pathetic. And then the way they censor us here for telling us the truth, and I'm one of them, okay, and I'm still going to say the truth. Yeah, have the state get off in their pockets and kick the reparations that way.
Hey, Black Power, you said the truth. You mentioned the truth. You got the truth. You got to put the truth right on the line. He was right there at the reparations hearing.
Yes, sir. And then what it is that they are making too much money. They invading our privacy. They come here on these laptops, these cell phones, with all this garbage that don't nobody want, let alone see. I'm sitting up here trying to figure out, you know, how I'm going to eat, how I'm going to make my money. What I do, I get a bunch of pop-ups, man, for some spam and some garbage I'm not interested in.
Well, you got to realize that the cost of reparations is presently estimated for the state of California, and that's just the state of California, has presently envisioned will be over $200 billion. If they did it nationwide, cost would be $150 trillion, which is more money, I believe, than has existed in the wealth of all the collective wealth of mankind since the beginning of recorded history.
I just blame people for having money, for making the money to take it.
Can you bring on Sister Truth Bay, because she got all the info on that. She's the Black Power.
I just want to say real quick, I don't blame people
Black
for making money that they make and their successes. I could have made different choices with my life and maybe could have been there as well. I'm paralyzed now. This is my first year. January was a year. I'm paralyzed now. And so those choices are pretty much, a lot of them are out the window, and so I'm stuck. So now I have to figure out a way to support myself, and, you know, maybe I will come up with an invention or something else. But the choice was mine in my younger days, and so I wasted it. And so, you know, that's
okay.
Where a lot of people
okay.
are. Anyway, back to you. Thank you.
Okay.
It's never a way
okay,
to
okay. But the thing is, though, is this, okay, is when a gentleman who was 24 years old in 1966, okay, who had formed the organization to go against these injustices, and he used the U.S. Constitution, Sarge, as the basis of his turning point program. And Dynamite, you know who I'm talking about, okay? He was labeled a threat to society. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You see? Yeah. You see what I mean? Him and his organization, but they was exercising their constitutional right. And then, too, Susan, if this here gives you any type of understanding of the reparations, you got to look at four police agencies in the state of California that specialize in the murdering of Black people. The San Francisco Police Department, the Oakland Police Department, the San Diego Police Department, and yes, of course, that agency down in the City of Angels that made Rodney King famous. When I was 19 years old, I'm standing on the corner of Hollywood Boulevard and Western Avenue. I get pulled over by the Hollywood Division of the Lap Dogs. They put a 9mm to the back of my head and said, "Nigga, if you move 1 inch, I'll blow your brains out from here to Imperial Highway." And Susan, you know how far Hollywood Boulevard is from Imperial Highway? It's quite a distance. I didn't do nothing wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't commit no crime. Okay, so why was I subjugated to this racial, hateful abuse? I will tell you why. It's because the LAPD had a chief by the name of William H. Parker, who Daryl Gates was a lieutenant under him, and Daryl Gates referred to himself in his autobiography called Chief that I read, okay, saying that he was a disciple, repeat, a disciple of William H. Parker. And also, too, Sergeant Cheryl Dorsey, the author of Black and Blue. Ma'am, my extension to you is still out there to call in here at 516-418-5996. And then also, too, I want to pay respect, you know, to a great man, okay, who is no longer with us. His name was Johnny Cox. Okay, now, the thing about Johnny Cox, as he did with the Deadwiler case, as he did with the Willa Love case, and various other cases, and even with Geronimo Pratt as well, too. In the interest of justice, he took these cases pro bono. You see what I'm saying? Meaning that he was not paid for. You see what I mean? Okay, and then Johnny Cochran in the O.J. Simpson case, you know, made the LAPD look like fools. Okay, the Rodney King case, you know, they exposed them for what they were. You see what I mean?
That wouldn't be hard. LA had their problems since the beginning. But the rest of the state, you don't hear about their police department too much. But LA is dirty. They're dirty, dirty, dirty.
Oh, okay, well, ma'am, but you also have to look at the San Francisco Police Department, which was one of the most corrupt police departments going, like New York City in your neck of the woods, dog. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, I live
in
Southern California.
And also in my neck of my woods, too.
Okay.
Out here in Maryland,
okay.
The cops are brutal.
Okay, but hold it. Oh, yeah, exactly, too, Brother Isaiah. Now, but also, too, you have to look at Oakland, California, where they were so brutal that there was a young man, 24 years old, who got together with another young man, 30 years old, and these two individuals had formed an organization that was built on the U.S. Constitution, pretty much, when you check out their 10-point program, and they were declared public enemy number one at the federal level. You know who I'm talking about, Dynamite. And also, too, Sister Truth Debate, you know who I'm talking about. I don't have to mention their name. So, therefore, Susan, when you say reparations for these injustices in California, although California was not a slave state, ma'am, you had a whole lot of cats with that murder, with that philosophy from the South that came to California and ran its ass up.
Yeah.
Comment, please.
We're
in our
they
last 2 minutes.
$200 billion worth. Just in California, 200, that is the whole budget for the state of California in 1 year. $200 billion is the budget for the state of California.
It's actually
every agency, every department, $200 billion. That's the cost for just California. $150 trillion for the entire United States. It's unfeasible.
Sarge. Tell that to the people who are laying in their graves, man, that gave up their lives and slavery, man. Tell that to their family.
I'm afraid if they would have come back to life and you would have proposed this plan to them, they'd say, boy, you got to be crazy. I'll bet you that's what they would have said.
If you can finance a house with one of us,
okay,
let's say how much is their house.
Brother Malcolm's point right there. You just proved Brother Malcolm's point right there when he gave his speech about field Negro and the house Negro. Because the field Negro said, hey, man, let's go get away, man. Let's leave this East Master. The house Negro would sit up there and say, man, leave what we got here. What's better than what we got right here? The house kept on fire. The house Negro would say to the master, let's met a boss. Our house on fire. Then when the master got sick, the house Negro would sit up there and say, well, what's met a boss? We sick. And the field Negro was up there praying that that SOB died. Now,
yeah, I just like to ask you one question. Like, ask you one question. Do you really think the United States of America owes a descendant of slaves eight or more generations removed $150 trillion? Do you or don't you?
Yes, sir. And I'm going to tell you why. Sarge. When you go up there and look at the monarchies of Europe, such as Portugal, such as France, such as England, where they went there and stole all the minerals off the continent of Africa, they still begging to finish from it.
You're going to hold the United States responsible for England, too?
Well, actually, you can hold them responsible for us because they didn't fulfill their contract, and they did. General Sherman on the battlefield, he filled out Field Order 15. Field Order 15 gave us 40 acres and 2 mules. Now, they never did fulfill their, and that's a legal document. They didn't fulfill their legal document, so yes, we have every
military
right.
Military governors cannot obligate Congress for a legislative act. That is unconstitutional.
A war general on the battlefield can make those
decisions. No, he cannot do that. That is not true.
Well, you don't
they
know about
cannot,
Field Order 15.
They cannot be obligated for the orders that a military governor has to give while he governs a military province, which the conquered states were, as a matter of military expediency. That does not obligate the legislature to fulfill what he did as a temporary military measure.
It wasn't temporary. They never did them the 40 acres and a mule, period. So now, those 40 acres, we're talking about,
we're talking about
10 individuals. Okay, I'll let you finish. But I just want to say 400 acres and times 20 mules, no, 40 mules, that's a lot of money. If you were to sell that on today's market, that's what they owe us.
Okay. Hey, how much do you think
400,000 acres is going to cost? That's a lot. I bet you one mule costs a lot of money. I ain't never bought a mule, but I bet you a mule costs some money.
Oh, yeah.
But I wanted to clarify some facts differently.
Yeah, come on with it.
Peace and Black Power family, how we doing, Denise?
Always.
Black Power.
That's
our beautiful justice, y'all. Nothing but the truth, babe.
Well, we were just listening in, and thank you, Brother Shibaka, for coming in on our show sometimes and filling that knowledge. Sarge has been there for quite some time, and I wanted just to clarify some facts. First of all, the California budget is not $200 billion. It's actually $400 billion. And have you ever attended any of the Reparations Task Force meetings, Sarge? And can you tell us where you're from?
Oh, Sarge is from South Carolina, man.
My understanding is $200 billion is discretionary funds, but I could be wrong about the total amount. And as far as the reparations meeting, no, I have never attended them. I have witnessed them at length on the Internet, because I live in Georgia, by the way, and not South Carolina.
Okay, you thought you saw our minister on there.
Governor Henry McMaster, are you familiar with him?
No, it's not my governor. My governor is Brian Kemp. I live in Georgia.
Oh, okay, because you just told me he's South Carolina. So you live in Georgia?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm an expatriate from Illinois. I had to flee that benighted state because it was becoming tyrannical, so I got the hell out.
All right. Now, you mentioned that slavery was something that the United States shouldn't pay back through reparations, right?
Well, not specifically, but go ahead on that. I didn't specifically say that, but go ahead.
Yeah, so what do you mean by eight generations removed? And that
because slavery ended about
160
years ago, the passage of the 13th Amendment in 1865 in December. So if you do the math, that's about 157 years from the end of chattel slavery legally. But
okay,
I say more than that because, you know, slavery existed in the United States from 1776 all the way through 1865, in the Confederate states, a few of the northern states, and a couple of the Union states, Missouri, Delaware, Maryland, and what was the other one? Making a point here.
It ain't about that. What was the point, sister?
Well, I can correct that.
California had 1868, was still slaves, over 1,500 slavery documented. Are you black?
That would be illegal.
Our comrade, he's in California as well. So he actually attended the reparations hearing. 1619 is actually the year that slavery started, which is what will explain the 1619 reparations party. But part of your argument I want to really point out is that you mentioned that it was a legal act, chattel slavery, correct?
Yes, chattel slavery was legal in the United States from its very inception up through 1865.
But when you say it like that, you actually answered your own question on why the United States have to pay reparations. Because to say that you take a human being simply because of the dark hue of their skin, that they're able to be considered equity, to be sold like cattle, and look like you as well, right? You're a black man, I assume, right?
I've been in one every single second of my life until, well, at least when I became an adult.
Well, until you get put on blue.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. If you are actually in that era, 1619, when actually chattel slavery was legal, and just picture yourself living in that era, how would you feel standing up on a chop port block and turned around, greased up, possibly raped, you know, to demasculate you, whipped,
right,
in the field for free, and you're supposed to be happy? How would you feel if you had to live under those conditions?
Knowing what I know of myself, I'll be doing my damnedest to escape by whatever means necessary, and I have to say the United States did not exist in 1619. It was a British colony. Again, the United States did not exist in 1619.
Okay, keep in mind, folks, we're going in overtime. Please do not hang up. We're going in overtime. Please continue the conversation, but please do not hang up because we got about to, we're in overtime right now. Please do not hang up. But please continue.
Because the United States is not coming to existence until July 4th, 1776. I hold the United States responsible for everything from that date to now, but not before.
Okay, so that date, we'll say 17, what year, 96, you said?
1776, July 4th. That's when the United States came into existence.
Oh, actually, the Constitution came in existence in 1776.
No, it didn't. It came into existence in 1787. That's when it was first ratified. The Bill of Rights was ratified in 1791.
So you're talking about on paper. We're talking about actual existence. Before
the Declaration of Independence
that
came into existence on July 4th.
If I may, I'd like to, I actually like to finish facts because I didn't cut you off when you were spewing lies. That document is 1776. Thank you, brother. In 1776, the actual document of the Constitution came to fruition. That paper came to fruition. Before that paper exists, you have to have people. You have to have structure. You have to have some sort of what you want on that paper. That means they had a government already. That's why George Washington was there. That's why you have other disciplinary acts signed in. John Hancock, most famous, Benjamin Franklin. They all were able to be in existence before that document. So your profession as law enforcement, right? You're a retired officer?
That is correct.
Okay, go ahead.
For a listening audience, that may not know.
Yeah.
It's very important to point that because law enforcement, their mentality is strictly paper orders and law. And your position actually existed in something called slave catchers. They were elected men in their community that were chosen to choose people that looked just like you and I, who were just minding their business, walking down the street, and they snatch them and return them back to a slave owner, whether they worked there or not. That was your rights at that time.
Okay,
so
I just learned
forward,
something on that there, Dr.
That's right.
All
so
right.
The mentality of chattel slavery, the mentality of chattel slavery is what reparations is really about. Now, if I may, I would like to hand the mic to President RRR, Comrade, National State Chairman of California, if you'd like to explain the 1619 project.
The 1619 Reparations Party is non-Democrat or anti-Democrat, anti-Republican. We are a black politician group. And we don't go with none of them. And what I want to say about the slavery here in California, you got to understand, we've been going through this task force for about 2 years now. And we got a lot of information. And we got shiploads and shiploads and more shiploads to come. So what we found out that California is documented as a non-slave state. Don't get caught up on what they say. Please. Please. Drop your badge down. Drop everything. Come to your blackness. We got information that's going to bust the whole globe on chattel slavery. Now, we started with California. This is the birth of the study. And what we got top-notch people that was purchased from UCLA, for over $1 million, and we got the top-notch studies. And the information we got will blow your mind. So don't be in a box. Just expand yourself. Expand your brain. Drop the badge down. We all brothers, agape.
Land
that program. Don't be programmed. Now it's time for you to look at all the evidence and then make your decision. But I said earlier, 1868, it was documented. Over 1,500 slaves sold. They were sold for $300, and then it was brought back to their own state. But some was kept, and they didn't take them to McDonald's. It was called the gold. When they was doing the gold in the mine, the gold rush, mine era. That's when they were still slaves here in California. So expand your mind. Go over every single study from this reparation task force in California, and you will learn. I yield back.
Yes, sir.
Black power.
Black power.
You can find
out
information on the Attorney General's website. Rod Bonta, so it's oag.ca.gov, and then you'll see the Reparations Task Force meeting from its inception since July 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And the key players, Chris Hodgson, Chad Brown, and Friday Jones, Politics in Black, they actually covered reparations since day one as well. So please follow them, Politics in Black. You'll see the actual reparations interview and get more idea. Closing argument is to be politically knowledgeable, Black people. We have to be politically knowledgeable. W.E.B. Du Bois, Booker T. Washington, NAACP, they all specialize in something called political science. When we don't take the time to study our own council in our own neighborhood, and this is why I say we have to be replacing this Roman government that's oppressing us since day one. But if you don't have the knowledge to actually combat it through legislation, through autonomy, through self-determination, self-governance, each of us have a duty and responsibility as a Black man, as a Black woman, to study and show ourselves the proof. Many of us want to speak and be a leader, but we have to show ourselves the proof in law and governance. There's no way around it. For that, I thank you. I'll be back. Appreciate you, Brother Shimaka. Power to the people.
Always. Thank you very, very much. All right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, what we did was here, we had a very, very excellent show tonight. We thank all, you know, that contributed. And what I'm going to do is that we're going to go out with a classic song. And I think this guy was from New York, and he was a jazz musician. And I think his father was
Before you hit the song, can everybody open their mics and hit it with me? Hit my song. Here we go. I am
a Black revolutionary.
A Black revolutionary.
I am a Black revolutionary.
And I'm not a happy slave. Black power.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going out here always, and we're going out here with a class. Right? Everybody knows this guy, the one and only. Thank everybody so very much.